Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. God bless you. So good to see you in church today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This has been a beautiful service so far. Amen. Great things the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We do want to declare, great is your faithfulness. If it was not for you, none of us would be sitting here. Not just nay, the enemy meant evil for all of us. But Lord, you have helped us. Through it all, we have seen your faithfulness. We thank you that you have not allowed the enemy to prevail. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, you have prevailed. You have won the battle. You have conquered for us. And we say thank you. Blessed be your name. We shall live. We shall not die. Our children shall live. They shall not die. Oh God, you will keep us by yourself. Great is your faithfulness. We give you praise this morning. Help us, oh God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity to share together. Yesterday, the women had a beautiful time. It was beautiful. We should, next time we'll show you pictures. It was really a wonderful time. Amen. And we know that since the Lord created, he had a plan, right? Whatever you do, you have a plan for it. Especially if you invest in it. God had a beautiful plan for his creation. And the Bible says in John chapter 3:16, can we all say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the plan of God is for everlasting life. He put man in a beautiful garden. God's plan was that we should enjoy him forever. And the enemy also had a plan. The enemy came. His plan, according to the Bible, is three things. One, he's to do what? Steal. Again. And the last one. That's his ultimate aim. And he can do it physically. He wants to do it spiritually. He wants to do it in all areas of life. The enemy wants to steal. But God brought women. Women, we have a womb. And God puts something in your womb. It's not just the birth of a physical child. There's something God wants to birth in the world. Even in this season, God has a plan. If you look around the world, see what's happening in Ukraine. See what's happening in many parts of the world. The enemy's ultimate desire is to kill, is to destroy. But God has a plan. But since God is not here physically, he has you and I. We are supposed to rise up and stand in God's place and contend with the enemy. So I want to share this morning briefly on arise and contend. Arise and contend. Contend for God. Stand for God. Do something that will bring God's purposes to come to pass. I have a short video that will that I want to share. The media people will help me. It's about the life of somebody. Two people actually. And one, the enemy has virtually brought the person down. And the other one is still standing. But God will help us. Can you put it together, my people? Are you ready? Hallelujah.
Stand up and raise your right hand to be sworn, please. Please stand up.
Next, we head over to the Miami-Dade Bonds Court in Miami, Florida.
The one sleeping there, you can wake up too in the back row.
Number Judge Missy Glazer is overseeing bond hearings.
Thank you. I have a few announcements. I'm going to appoint the public defender to represent all defendants unless you tell me you have money to pay for a private lawyer or if you are hiring a private lawyer and one is here. Also, please let me know if you have served in the United States military or any of the reserves. Good morning.
Good morning.
Over the next few hours, you'll see dozens of defendants.
You were arrested for second-degree murder.
As they step in.
I'm in the military, Your Honor.
You are?
And quickly step out.
Mr. Booth, how are you?
How you doing, ma'am? Okay,
ma'am. 49-year-old Arthur Booth is a career criminal, charged with burglary, grand theft, fleeing, and resisting arrest.
You have actually three arrest affidavits. Reckless driving. damage to property, leaving the scene of a crash with serious injury?
Wait, no serious injury.
I'm sorry, no serious injury.
Okay.
After questioning, Judge Glazer explains the terms of his bond.
The bond on count one is $7,500.
But the judge notices something familiar about this defendant.
F-15-13303. Okay, Mr. Booth, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you go to Nautilus for middle school?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry to see you there. I always wondered what happened to you, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the nicest kid in middle school.
Oh, my goodness.
He was the best kid in middle school. I used to play football with him and all the kids. And look what happened. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Booth, I hope you're able to change your ways. Good luck to you.
Oh, my goodness.
What's sad is how old we've become.
Oh, my goodness.
Good luck to you, sir. I hope you're able to come out of this okay and just lead a lawful life.
The reunion somberly...
Amen. Amen. You can watch the rest of it later. He went to jail for 10 months. She followed his family to come and wait for him. And she was still praying that he will change his ways. They were classmates. Classmates in high school. One a judge. The other one, they accused the criminal. And you saw how many people were in jumpsuits. That's what the enemy wants. That's all the enemy wants. And many of our people, many young people are in prison. Some for little things, some for big things. And it's not just a physical prison. There are spiritual prisons. There are people sitting around you at your workplace, people you meet in the stores, people that even come to church. Some are in prison. And you are just like them. They were classmates. They had the same opportunities. The enemy is after the souls of men. He's after our children. He's after the next generation. But the Lord is saying, on my watch, I should rise up. Amen. I should do something. And you know, that I like that song we sang earlier on. He says, my weapon is a melody. Heaven comes to fight for me. Heaven comes to... You do not have to fight by yourself. In fact, what do you have to fight? But we have spiritual weapons. And the Lord is saying, woman, arise and contend. Contend for your children. Contend for your grandchildren. Contend for the generation that is coming. If you look around us, how many are children? Everywhere we go these days, I check. It's mostly people my age or older or a little younger. Most of the other generation, they are lacking. They are missing. And we can just sit down in our comfort or we can turn the other way. It's not enough to just shy away and say it's all right. No, the Lord is saying, arise and contend. I'm going to read a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and also in Jude chapter 1. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, yesterday we were quoting it as women, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for evil. To give you a future, but the enemy wants to cut that future down. But the Lord is saying, arise. Deuteronomy chapter 2, I'll read a couple of verses, verse 1 to 2. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness. This is the people of Israel now. The wilderness by way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward, and command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir. And they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves thereof. I jump to verse 24. It says, you have stayed in the same place for too long. That place of comfort, that place of excuses, that place you have stayed for too long. Verse 24, rise ye up. Rise ye up. Take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear thereof report of thee and shall tremble and shall be in anguish because of you. God says we have stayed too long in the same place, making excuses, being comfortable, and there's a world out there that the Lord has promised us. There are children the Lord has brought through us. There are people around us. It may be your son, your father. There are men in our lives. The men in our lives, the enemy has really fought them. And we women, this is not a time to be asleep. He says you should rise up, O you complacent daughter. It's time to get up from your comfort, from your sleep. Verse 31, the Lord said unto me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Inherit the land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight. That's the enemy. The enemy comes out to fight. And the Lord our God delivered him before us. And we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time. And utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves and the spoil of the cities which we took. From Aroer, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. Hallelujah. Not one city too strong for us. But it says the Lord was the one that delivered it. He said, for our God delivered all unto us. As long as God is the one that's gone ahead of us, there's nothing that can meet us in this world that is too strong for us, because our God is able to deliver us. But the Lord is saying to you, you need to be awake. I cannot walk with somebody that is asleep. I cannot walk with somebody that is not there in their mind. Verse 3, chapter 3, then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us. That's another opposition. He and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hands, and thou shalt do unto him as thou did unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwell at Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. Verse 4. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them. 70 cities, all the region of Argob and the kingdom of Og of Bashan. And it went on, verse 6, and we utterly destroyed them as we did unto Sihon. Verse 7, they left the cattle, and at that time they destroyed those two kings, because the Lord was the one that fought the battle. And so we meet many oppositions in life. We meet so many challenges, especially in our time. Remember, the Bible has told us that the end is near, and everything seems to indicate to us the time has come. So what does it mean to contend? In Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. Jude chapter 1. Jude is just before Revelation. Jude chapter 1. It says, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Something is fighting what God has planned. And God is saying, rise up and earnestly contend. He's not saying, you know, just do it casually. He says earnestly. What does it mean to contend? It means to agonize for something, to strive in contest. It means to struggle. It means to maintain something, to defend the faith, defend your children, defend the nation, fight. God is calling us as an army, as soldiers. It's no more time for sleep. It's no more time for a break. Arise. To arise means to emerge, to come up, to stand tall. Arise. God has promised things to us, even as Mount Zion. God has promised things to you. God has promised things in the Bible that you can lay hold on. So for that reason, we need to contend. We need to say, this thing God promised me, it hasn't happened. As I was taking a shower this morning, I remembered something God spoke to me. He showed it to me in a dream. It was Sister Yolanda, Sister Tolu and I that were traveling to Tupelo. I think it was 3 years ago. And I had a dream. And the thing has come to pass. God showed me something. I just thought it was a dream. And it is happening right now. And I said to God, I'm so sorry. You showed me this thing. What did I do about it? When you see things and you don't do anything, it will happen. Negative things will happen because the enemy is working. But when you rise up, then you are able to defend it. You are able to fight that thing. You are able to say no to the enemy. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. You are supposed to fight. This is not the time to just lie down in comfort. How do you fight? You aggressively defend on your knees. You earnestly defend on your knees. You go to the Lord and give it to him. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, the Bible says, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's so angry. He's looking for whom to devour. He will try to get you, to get your children, to get your husband, to get your cousin, to get your neighbor, anybody that he finds on the way. He is our adversary. Get that straight. The devil is not playing. But God is great. Amen? Amen? God is faithful and God is powerful. And he says he's our advocate. I read that verse last week and I've not forgotten it. And I'm sure some of you are getting tired of hearing me say that. He's our advocate. The one that stands for you. The one that has your back. The ones that will speak for you. The one that is there to intercede. Jesus is interceding. You have your support from him. He's behind you. And he says that we are to rise up and stand with him. Many are saying God is not true. God is not real. I heard somebody, I don't know, I think it's Mama Rachel that shared that video with me. Somebody said, let's try and cut the Bible away. Let's not allow the Bible to be there anymore. And people are agreeing with them. And they are doing everything. People are saying marriage is not what will produce a child. No, let's just redefine that and do it the way we want and get children the way we want. And we say it's okay. At first, it looked, this can't happen. But now we are so comfortable. We are so used to those things. They don't offend us anymore. Somebody got up. He's in the government, in the present government. He says he's a they. He's not a he or a she anymore. And he's not a both he and she. And he says he has all of them inside of him. So he said they. And he's in government. And the enemy is taking center stage in government, in writing movies for our children, in everything. Yesterday I was looking for something. And I just saw American Idol is a program in America. There's the British one. I don't know the name of it anymore. The Voice or something. The one in Britain. A witch came on there. She was dressed in her regalia as a witch. And she contested in the same program that she came as a regalia. It's getting to the point where we are so insensitive. We are so used to it. We excuse it. Oh, it won't do anything. No, if we do not contend, there is danger. Why don't we contend? We are so selfish. We are so comfortable. There's so much fear. Can I? Oh, if I come out, the enemy will come after me. There's lack of faith. There is doubt. Will God really do it? God has promised me so much. I've not seen it. Will he really do it? There's so much that is holding us down. Mothers, how did you start? God put a baby in your womb. God put a child. You have to agree with God that there's something about that seed that God wants to achieve. Maybe you get tired halfway and you see this child is a problem. Somebody said to me that her daughter, who is my friend, she said from the moment I had this child until now, she's been nothing but problem. And so you give up on the child and you rule her out as problem. Until this day, that my friend is really problem. But you pronounced it with your own mouth. You are saying it. She's a problem. How do you redeem when you see the enemy come to fight something like that? Yesterday we had one of the games we had. they were asking who is the mother that put her baby out in the basket and were fighting with that name, Jochebed. The Bible says she saw that Moses was a goodly child. She saw something in her child. Have you ever gone to the Lord to say, why did you give me these four children? Why did you give me this one child? What is it that you want to do with this one child? And this is not just for mothers. Have you stood to ask the Lord, why am I here right now as a man? Why? What am I doing here? What's my purpose here? Are you agreeing with God? Are you ignoring the things that God wants done in your life? We've been given a gift, the gift of life. Many died during COVID. Many are still dying. It is precious. It cost God his very best. It wasn't just a cheap price. There's danger that is lurking, that is coming. We can see the world going in a dangerous direction. Challenges from everywhere. And we are supposed to rise up. We are supposed to say, no, look at that man. He went to the same school, had the same opportunities. He lives in Miami-Dade, same place with the woman. He went this way. He went downhill. Where are the people around him? Are we just waiting until all of our people are in prison and we start praying when it has happened? Can we rise up now and say there is a real serious danger we are ready to fight? You know, we have the spiritual authority. We have the power in the name of Jesus. Don't accept defeat. Do not accept to be a weakling. Poor me. You know my situation. You know this thing has happened. You give excuse after excuse after excuse. And the world is just falling apart. Things are just going every direction. We are being threatened. And we are not even conscious that there is danger. I want to give divorce as an example. That's not to condemn anybody. Divorce in America. Divorce rates are rising. They are double what happened to be in what happened in 1960. Double. 50% of marriages end in divorce. 41% of first marriages end in divorce. 60%, it goes higher, of second marriages end in divorce. 73% of third marriages end in divorce. The USA is the sixth highest divorce rate in the world. And so when you are getting married, Satan is looking. First of all, he tries to stop you from getting married. He does everything to block our children. Finally, you get into marriage and he takes these statistics. Oh, 41%. I want this person to be one of the 41%. And that marriage sometimes is not your fault. Things just happen. The marriage doesn't work out. You can't condemn yourself. And then it goes to the second one. Oh, now I have a higher percentage. So he goes after them. Do we pray? Do we stop to pray for people around us? People that need to get married? People that are married? People that are going through stuff? Do we stop to pray for them? Or is it to join the enemy, the accuser, to condemn and to judge? You see a wrong move. Oh, did you hear what happened? Are we one of those? Or we are one of those that our hearts will break? You see this man on this movie. On this video, do you go home and say, God, have mercy upon us? Or you are like, well, he made wrong choices. Haven't you made wrong choices? If God was to deal with us the way we deserve, who can stand? The Bible says, if you regard iniquity, who can stand? It's God's mercy. There are several things that are coming against us right now. One is an anti-family and an anti-Christian culture. There's a culture that has crept into the society that wants to throw out God. And I've talked about divorce. How about busyness? I'm guilty. You are so busy. All your days are taken up, running from one thing to the other, to the other, that you really don't stop. How about the absence of father figures? You saw those men in jail? Where are their fathers? Where are their own children? What generation? We sang earlier, our generation shall praise your name. What are we passing on? You came, you are a father, and you are in jail. What will happen to your child? What will happen to that one's child? Who is fathering that one? So we have a future that is just bleak if God doesn't intervene. Lack of discipline. We don't discipline our children. We have accepted it's okay. How about financial pressures that are so pressing on so many of us? Money is an issue. And it's not that you don't want to serve God, but you have to find money to pay your bills. Those are challenges. How about negative media influence? We see all kinds of things in the media, and there's no balance in our lives. There's materialism, and there are changes in our world. There is danger in our schools. There is danger in our offices. There is danger in the government. There are moral issues that are coming up, sexual issues, crime, wars, persecution of Christians. So much is on our plate, and we are just sitting there. But God is calling us today. He says, rise up. Rise up. Content. Let's pursue God with all that we have. The enemy is waiting to devour. The enemy is waiting to cut down. But today my prayer is that we will arise. We will arise by the grace of God. There are women in the Bible that saw danger and they didn't go to sleep. And there were some that saw danger and they turned the other way. You remember the story of Abigail, the one that was married to a foolish man? There was danger coming to wipe out her entire family. What did she do? She rose to action. She did something. She delivered herself. She delivered her family. The man that was doing wrong, God dealt with him. The Nabal died, but she delivered her family. And if you read the story of King David, David married her, and she had children for David. Her children were never mentioned among those causing trouble because she was a woman that rose up. How about Naomi and Ruth? They were facing poverty. There was grief. There are people who could say, oh, you know, I don't have anyone to fend for me. I'm all alone. My husband has died. I have no way out. They rose up. They rose up and they did something. How about the Shunammite woman? She didn't have a child. Elisha was passing by. And the Lord used him to pray for her. She got a baby. The baby died. Satan came to steal, which is his job. And the woman said, no, I'm not taking this. She didn't even consult man. She said, you know what? Prepare a donkey for me. And she went and looked for Elisha. And he was asking, is all well? She said, it is well. But she came because she said, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to let this. Are we going to say to the Lord, I will not let this. This thing I'm seeing in my nation, in my city, this thing I'm hearing about other nations, this thing I'm seeing in my family, and Satan is saying, you have no right. This family belongs to me. I've been there before you were born. Am I just going to let it go? Or can I rise up? Can I stand up? Can I advocate? Even for the president, even for the Congress, even for the governor, can we rise up and say, God, something is going wrong? And I'm rising up here. If you do not contend, things will just get worse. We never hear of Eli's wife. We don't know who she is, but she was a mother. Her children were doing wrong. Did you hear anything about her? No. What happened to the children? They were killed. Her husband died. Her new grandbaby, the daughter-in-law died. Death came into the family. How about Samson's mother? You have a child that is such a gifted child. He's such a wonderful weapon in the hand of the Lord. And the enemy comes in and you are careless. And you just go to sleep. So the call for us today is to arise. The call for us today is to contend. The call for us today is to say, God, what is the destiny? What is the plan for America? What is the plan for my children? What is the plan for Mount Zion Prayer Center? He brought us here. He has a plan. He's going somewhere. If we choose to remain where we are in our comforts, it will continue like that. And God forbid, Satan has a trap. That man that you saw in the video, it was a trap of the enemy. Once the enemy starts one, he continues and he continues and he continues. But we can rise up. What is your gift? What has God placed in you? What is the promise that God has made for you, to you? For the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 2, we read, he says, you have remained in this mountain for too long. That's the first step. Is there where you've been standing comfortably for too long? And God is saying, I don't want you to continue here at this spot. And you are saying, but I like it. I like this comfort. Today, may the Lord awaken us. May you get up from that place of comfort. May you be convicted to say, no more will I just stay here. There is danger. There is a promise God has made to us. And then in verse 24, it says, rise up, continue on your journey. Where are you with the Lord? How far have you come with the Lord? Is it a time to just relax and say, you know what? I have gotten somewhere. After all, I'm a better Christian than the other people over there. You have higher heights. Amen? There are greater heights. And this day, the Lord is saying, I have given you the land. I have given you the people. I have given you the buildings. I have given you everything you need. He says, all things are yours. But you have to rise up to possess them. You have to rise up to say yes to the Lord. Let faith rise up within you. Let there be a burden in your heart this day that children are not where they are supposed to be. The nation is not where it's supposed to be. I myself am not where I'm supposed to be. And Lord, I need your help. I need you to awaken me. What was God's original intention for you? What was God's original plan for you? What did God put in action, set in action, in process when he created you and I? Many are bound. Many are kept in their captivity. Many are there. He says in that Deuteronomy chapter 3 verse 22, you shall not fear them, for the Lord your God will fight for you. What puts fear in your heart? What makes you quiet? Or what makes you think it's okay, I have done it, I've achieved, I'm somebody? Is there something that is making us raise our shoulders and feel we are okay? We are not okay. There is danger out there. It is time that we will awaken. It is time that we will take action. For the Lord God himself is the one that is saying, wake up, O complacent people. Wake up, O children. There are people in our society that are being held by the enemy. We are watchmen. The Lord is calling us to action. Action number one, acknowledge the presence of darkness. Know that there is danger. Know that things are not the way they should be. Action number one, acknowledge the presence of danger. Action number two, cast off the deeds of darkness. You yourself, don't be part of it. You yourself, move away from it. Don't play games with the enemy. Don't agree with the enemy. Don't become the accuser of the brethren. Our tongue is always out to judge somebody, criticize somebody, condemn somebody. You are not on the side of the enemy. We have an adversary. We have an advocate. Advocate for that person. This person is in danger. How can I go on my knees before the person? You can even approach the person and say, I see something not going right in your life. Sometimes that might cause trouble. So go on your knees and say, God, have mercy on this person. So that's number two action. Cast off the deeds of darkness. Number three action. Address the darkness. Rise up as a soldier of the Lord and say no to the advance of the enemy. The prince of this world cometh, Jesus said, but he has no part in me. He's coming to judge. He's coming to criticize. He's coming to condemn. But we are rising up to say, no, we are not giving in to this in the name of Jesus. Expose the deeds of darkness. Have nothing to do with the work of the enemy. And we should love as children of light. You know, it's compassion in your heart that makes you feel something. Last week, we were at a Spanish church here in Cleveland. And the pastor was talking about the people that come from other countries, Spanish countries, Hispanic nations, and they come to their church and they have problems, they have issues. And I just felt the pain of those people. I didn't know them. But he was talking about some that they said they have two choices. Either remain back home in your country and you will die ultimately because of hunger, because of the problems in the country, or try and cross the river and the waters and come to America and you may still die on the way. There are people that have no choices around us. Their choices are limited. May the Lord help us. May the Lord open our eyes. So I come this day to just encourage us, especially women. May we rise up as people that are responsible. May we rise up and say, no, not on my watch. This my child is going to become what God has called him to be. This minister, this pastor that I see being overtaken by a fault, he will become what God has called him to be. This my friend that we used to pray together. This my classmate, this was a classmate. A classmate, today you are sitting as a judge and he is going to jail. No, I will arise and I will say, not on my watch, not on my watch. Let's not allow the enemy to continue to reign. Let's not allow the enemy to continue to prevail. It is time to arise. It is time to arise. What are we rising up for? He says in Isaiah, he says, arise and do what? Arise and do what? For your light has come. Arise and shine. Jesus has come. Your light has come. God has come to intervene in our affairs. What is it in my life that the enemy is holding me down? It is time to arise and say, God, hold my hand. Maybe you can't even arise. You are saying, what is she saying? I don't even know how to manage this day. And you are saying, arise. How do I even arise? Can you go to the Lord in prayer? Can you ask God to help you? Can you ask God to pick you up? Can you ask God to hold you up and to take you up by himself? And let God contend for you. He says in Psalm 35, contend, Lord, with those who contend against me. Fight against those who fight against me. It's not your fight. So you need God to awaken us. We need God to help us to arise and contend. Whatever the situation is in your life, God is here with a good news. Amen. He is here to set the captives free. Amen. He is here to start a new thing in our lives. Amen. He is here to deliver even our children, to break the yokes. Even that prisoner, God is here to deliver. He says, rise up and take possession of the land. Rise up into your inheritance. Rising up is an action that results in something. Action resulting in a serious, successful ending. That's what arising is. Rising up to say, God, my weapon is my melody. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing down. And it's not just for me. I need to stand tall and strong for me, but not just that. There are people depending upon me. There are nations that are tied to you. And God is waiting for you to pull them along. God is waiting for you to pull somebody along. God is saying today, woman, I created you special. I made you with a plan. You know, when Pastor Emmanuel was saying that women is a man with a womb, what I was remembering was the joke somebody used to make, that when God created man, it was so good. It was very good. Everything was good. And then when God created woman, the man woke up and said, wow, man. He saw something unique, something special. Women have a destiny. Women, if you take women out of a place, the place becomes dull. Look around you. Every dull color in this room, who is wearing it? Every dull color. That's just the way it is. Now look for the bright colors. Delicate vessels. They are special vessels. The Lord has created women for a special purpose. Amen. Don't just say, I'm only woman. I have nothing to do. There is a destiny. There is a program. There is a prize. Arise, O woman. Arise, O complacent woman. Arise. And why do we need to arise? Finally, I want to read from Romans. I've read this scripture so much in recent times. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 verse 11. And that knowing the time. Do you know the time? Knowing the time. That now it is high time to awake. Knowing the time, it is high time to awake. This is not that we like to hear, you know, words that will tell us God is going to bless you. God is going to do this for you. And those are wonderful things. But on a day like this, let's go back to reflect. Let's go back to sober reflection. Let's go back to say, God, are we there? How do we need to amend our ways? Knowing the time. The time is a serious time. It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer. Nearer than when we first believed. Jesus is at the door. Jesus is about to come. Have you thought of how many people are going to hell? Have you thought of the people killed in Ukraine? How many have gone to hell? Have you thought of the people being killed by terrorists? In my country, terrorists are just havoc all around. Have you thought of them? Even those that were not killed. I was reading about Ukraine 2 days ago. Women were being gang raped and all kinds of things. Do you know what that does to that woman? For the rest of her life, if God doesn't help her, do you know what becomes of the person? Are we bothered? Are we burdened? He says it is nearer, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The time is gone, brethren. It's no more time for jollying and carousing and lazing and partying. The time is gone. Today, we need to arise. He says, let us cast off. The day is at hand. The day of the Lord is as at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand. Jesus, the trumpet can sound anytime. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness. The little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine. The little things between us. See, he starts verse 10 by saying, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. The things that keep us apart. The things that hurt us, that make us condemn each other. The things that make us not hold each other. The Bible is saying drop them. Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? What is that thing? The Bible is saying drop that thing. Because the time is serious. And it goes on to say, let's not spend the time in rioting, in drunkenness, in chambering, in wantonness. Not in strife and envy. That is so present in a lot of churches. It's present among us. Strife, envy, offense, unforgiveness, bickering, evil, roots of evil that the enemy is planting. He says, but put you on the Lord Jesus. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the laws thereof. We don't know how to do this. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. So I came to just encourage us that we should look around and know that the time is serious. I need to look around. I'm not speaking to anybody. I'm speaking to myself. The time is serious. Well, how will you feel to be in heaven and that your brother you grew up with is there burning in hell? That your father that gave birth to you, that your son, that your daughter is in hell. How will you feel? It's better to weep now. It's better to call out now. It's better to rise up now and contend and say, no, this faith that was delivered unto us, we cannot let it slip. We cannot let it go. This is the time to cry out. I'm going to invite the women. Come out. We want to pray. We want to pray and cry out to the Lord to say, awaken us. Awaken us. Women, we want to pray together and say, God, deliver our children. Deliver our nation. Deliver our husbands. Deliver us. Deliver me, myself, from this feeling of comfort, from this feeling of it is okay, I have attained, I am somebody. Today we want to cry out on this Mother's Day and say, Father, deliver us, the women, deliver our children, but we want to start with us and to say, God, have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. Have mercy upon us. That's what we are standing for. The young ladies, you can join us. You can join us. It's not just for the mothers. Young ladies, you can join us. Hallelujah.